We shouldn't tell them about Brandon Herrera.
Mr. Tony Gonzalez, my name is Jack Mandeville, and I...
The battle starts in 45
it's
minutes.
Content.
Yeah, Grandpa was a police officer during the Civil Rights Movement.
Like, oh, f***, I s*** myself.
You want a Modelo?
Yes, please, could you? Thank you. You have an opener?
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Unsubscribe Podcast. I'm joined today by Eli Double Fab, Fat Electrician, and Jack Mandeville, one of our most favorites.
Hi, guys. Thank you for having me on the Unsubscribe Podcast. I'm sorry I smell like cigarettes.
It's okay, Jack. Thank you, Cody. And our boy, Cody Donut Operator, is joining us today, per usual. Jack, it's great to have you, you beautiful son of a bitch. I'm always,
You guys always call me to do this show last minute. It's always like when I'm like going through a hardcore hangover day. Good. And the show, whenever I come out of one of these shows, I always feel like I can go again. So thank you for having me. I'm a functioning alcoholic.
You get so motivated too after these episodes. I get texts from you like, I'm going to start YouTubing.
Yeah, I am. Everything's ready to go. We just have to film. I got a crazy march ahead of me, but we're going to make it happen.
Dude, I'm so proud.
Because you guys always give me shit every time I see you.
Good. And the whole audience.
Yeah.
You messaged me like 2 months later. You're like, have you read the comments on our podcast? Yeah, yeah. Jack, they want you to do your stuff.
Eli got me to read the comments. I was like, whoa, these are really positive. This is not the kind of YouTube I'm used to.
Jack usually loads a gun when he reads the comments.
Yeah. He's like, all right, I don't know about you, but I'm feeling 22.
Where's Brandon Herrera at to make a joke about veterans?
Oh, God, just cut that segment and give it to him, and we'll put it against Brandon.
Yeah,
we could just AI him into this thing and get him saying all sorts of effed up stuff.
Tony's paying us.
Yeah, I'm sorry, he offered more money, man.
We're in Tony's pockets.
Sorry, Brandon.
Jack, how you been, buddy? It's been we haven't had you in a couple episodes.
Yeah, but it's been a couple months. I feel like I get invited on a lot. I feel very honored about that.
Yeah, you fucking move the needle.
I haven't been on since you two homies are back in the saddle again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really?
No, the last one I did was it was just like you and Brandon.
With Nick? You've never been with Nick?
Oh, I have before, but not since he's been officially a host.
Yeah. Oh, okay. I was like so confused. The timeline's all over the place.
Yeah.
We're in Infinity War right now. Civil War's done. Now we're at the conclusion.
Yeah. Dude, part one.
Jack had the best idea for the live shows that we're doing in March.
Oh. Yeah.
We set up a bar.
Mm-hmm. And I'm just side stage. Dressed in a tuxedo as a bartender. I don't say a word the entire show, but I'm just, and you guys can say whatever you want to me. I'll just pretend you're not even there. I'm just doing my job. I'm a good, happy, tuxedo wearing bartender.
And we just berate him.
Yeah.
And you make his drinks though?
I'll make you guys drinks. Yeah. Like I'm your bartender.
Bro, I'm loving this idea way more and more.
So I'll have my comb over. I'll have a tuxedo. I'll have my comb over.
And then we'll get you the big Venmo icon, and we'll put it on the front of the bar with a sign that says, the more you tip me, the stiffer their drinks are. We'll see how much money you can raise.
I'd love that. You just see me putting some
blue flirting with
some
Dick.
Yeah.
Jack, he just brings out a bottle of Jack for each of us. This is just booze, Jack.
Tip the man. Tip the fucking man. Right, Jack, are you putting roofies in our drink? Don't worry about it.
It's acid. Dude, our meet and greet, we're just like unconscious.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Thanks for coming on. A short notice, though. We got you something.
Well, I live in the neighborhood
hold
now.
Hold on. Yeah. Did you hear it? We got you a gift for coming on.
This is a short notice.
A lot of
so
thought process went into this.
Yeah.
Nick told me that you love Jim Bowie, so I got you this.
What? Let me guess. A sponsor gave it to you, and you have a bunch to offer.
No. We went and bought this at the store.
Jack is coming, so.
What the shit? Guys, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Why?
Oh my God. That's a nice one, too.
Yeah, that is a nice knife. Oh my God, I can play around with it? Oh my God.
We know you're a huge
I'm going to stir the drinks with us if we end up doing that thing for the show. This will be my drink stir. Oh my God, thank you guys.
Oh, that was worth it. I'm going to buy him five more of those.
Oh my God, thank you so much.
You're a huge fan of Jim Bowie.
Dude, I just got a waterbed. This is going to be awesome. Oh my God.
I just more you in 2024 getting a waterbed. Yeah. And then your mindset is automatically to say that.
I'm 40. I'm just spending more money on myself these days, you know? Not that I had anybody to spend money on before.
You like it?
I love it. Thank you so much.
Hey!
This is so awesome. This is so awesome.
We were going to get you a shirt that also says, I'm not an ex-Marine. I'm a real Marine.
Oh,
also,
yeah.
So you could have had your Bowie in that shirt.
And a Iraqi freedom hat with all the ribbons.
Huh? See, what'd I say? What? The hat.
Oh, yeah.
Literally, if you want to piss Jack off, you get these three things. The hat described is exactly what I said.
This does not piss me off. Now, Jim Bowie does piss me off, I think. His legacy is overrated. But the knife is amazing. The namesake for the knife is a whole different thing, and I accept this humbly and gratefully and thankfully.
It's from all of us at Unsub and also all the amazing community that makes that possible to get our friends dope gifts.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Thank you. Yeah, give them more money. Invite me on the show more.
Yeah. I want a waterbed next time.
Yeah, we went by Bass Pro before we came up here. Nick was like, Jack loves Jim Bowie.
Let's get him a knife. Dude.
Have you been to the Alamo with all the times you've come down to San Antonio? All the times you've come to San Antonio, you haven't gone to the Mecca of Texas.
Very busy drinking.
Yeah, okay. You can drink in downtown San Antonio, you know.
I believe you.
And there's the Manger Hotel, which is the oldest hotel west of the Mississippi.
That's the one you took me to, right?
Yeah.
When
yeah.
I first moved here. Yeah, and you told me the history about it.
Hold on.
Teddy Roosevelt recruited the Rough Riders out of that fucking bar there, dude.
Isn't there a bullet hole or something?
From Teddy Roosevelt. You should probably go at this point.
You want to take me?
Yeah, I'd love to. I'm not doing anything. I'm not doing anything tomorrow. I'm pretty much packed after that.
I'll be on a plane tomorrow.
Oh, next time you come down, we got to do
it. You're not on a Max 9, are you?
Do you remember the video idea that we've been talking about it for like 2 years? Jack puts on like an orange vest and he has a sign that says, please be quiet or something. And he walks us around the Riverwalk and we're all just kind of hammered. And it like takes us on a tour of the Riverwalk.
I could give you guys the tour from Mission Espada to the Pearl and everything in between. I could give you the full tour. History, fun facts, nature, bums, everything.
Dude, this is a series, though, for Unsub. It's like Jack and Nick do history, we just do quick history segments like
There's
that.
There's so much good shit
oh
in
my
South
God,
Texas
this
alone.
Vlog.
Yeah.
I love this idea way more.
Than yeah, we have a cameraman with us.
The Unsub reality
like while
show
we're going through the
Riverwalk.
We just keep bringing people on. We're like, hey, this tour guide's awesome. Come hang out with us.
And it's $50. We'll see how many people pay you.
Yeah. I need a new knife. I broke my last one.
On what?
My waterbed.
Boy.
It's that Wakanda water, bro.
But we could sell out an entire venue of people that just want to hang out with Jack. Because my latest vlog, they saw him doing karaoke. And like you're in my vlogs a lot. Like when I'm over at JT's.
Yeah, I mean, I'm like, I'm in like split second shots. Like, he's like, why does he have a shirt off? Yeah.
But the comments are like, I would pay to hang out with Jack. Just to hang out with Jack venue.
Do Jack Mandyville?
Oh, I'm so underwhelming. That's why we did that comedy show the other night. And as soon as it was done, everyone's like doing shots. And I'm like, all I can see outside the venue is the halal card. Am I going to hit that up on the way to the hotel? Yeah.
How'd your live show? You guys are doing live shows now. We'll get to that actually afterwards.
Yeah.
Because
I'm excited for y'all's.
Dude, now I'm super excited because you're joining us on it.
Yeah.
And you're going to work off of your tips. That's right. The live audience.
But yeah, like an actual bar set up on the stage. Yeah. And Jack's just.
And I don't want to divert from the show. So, like, you guys just tell me when you want to drink, and I got you.
But we need you drunk, but you have to stay quiet.
I can do that.
You have to deliver. We gave you a very unbalanced tray. you have to serve us our drinks.
Yes.
On a tray. On a tray. We put everything against you leading into this. So you're stumbling, you're shit wrecked, you're not allowed to talk.
It's the most abusive thing I've ever heard you like say.
Yeah, I need you drunk but quiet.
Yeah. Wasn't this fucking.
Jesus Christ.
I cannot
tell
you.
Shirt right there.
I cannot tell you how many ex-girlfriends have said that exact sentence to me before.
It's a lady out of breath. Wild.
Eli, wake up!
Huh?
I know that the Ghost Bed pillow is super comfortable and has cooling technology, but we're shooting an ad right now.
You mean this Ghost Bed pillow?
That one!
Cooling technology?
Cooling technology. It's hot in Texas, but that's cool. Eli, I know you're cooler than the backside of a pillow, but with Ghost Bed, you don't have to turn the pillow over. It has cooling technology.
Every mattress has a 20-year warranty.
Some even have 25.
And you can try it out for 101 nights.
If you don't like it, you can send it back. No hard feelings.
No hard feelings.
I have hard feelings for Ghost Bed.
I have a hard feeling for you.
I'm really hard. The pillows have cooling technology.
And so do the mattresses.
The mattresses do too!
Hey, Cody, did you know Ghost Bed also offers bundles?
Bundles?
You get everything you need.
Just choose from your four mattresses and pick your bundle.
So whether you need a mattress and a frame, or you just want to choose it all,
like their cooling pillows and sheets,
you can get the best bang for your buck.
Right now, Ghost Bed is offering 50% off everything if you use the code unsubscribe. Click the link in the description or go to ghostbed.com/unsubscribe.
That's right, ghostbed.com/unsubscribe and get 50% off right now.
So, Jack, what new history lessons are you going to throw in on this last minute segment?
On this last minute thing, I had to think about on the 15 car. I do want to talk about something. I was telling Cody about it out there, and I don't know if you heard, but when I was a little boy, when I was 10 years old, there was this trunk in my parents' little basement closet, and I opened it up, and it was just a treasure trove of my great great grandfather's life. At the age of 15, he joined the Army of the Potomac at the outbreak of the Civil War and was in every major battle of the Army of the Potomac from the age of 15 to 19 years old. And I had every single one of his journals from every single day, from the time he went to his training to the end of the war, till a couple of years after the war. Thousands of letters, photographs, muster rolls, all sorts of cool shit that I consumed as a child. It really shaped me. And I was going through this thing recently. I was reflecting on all that because when I was a kid in the summers, I would like transcribe them onto the computer. So we have them all digitized because I had no friends when I was 12. So I just fucking spent my summer just transcribing everything. I did have friends, but they didn't invite me. I don't want to talk about it. Anyways,
holy shit, this is amazing.
So I went up there and did that show in Austin the other night, and I was thinking to myself, like, dude, what are you gonna leave? Like, who's gonna look at your words and your thoughts and expressions from your life and gain inspiration from it? Like, you haven't journaled at all. You haven't documented anything. Then I realized I've been on Twitter for 14 fucking years. I've absolutely been journaling. So I did a whole thing where I compared his journal entries from the Civil War as a, you know, 16, 17, and 15-year-olds then were different. I don't want to sound like a creep or anything, but they were very mature for their age.
Yeah, it's like time to have kids.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were getting shot at and dying by the age of 25.
So this can I read a few of them out to
25.
You? 25. Okay. His name was Captain.
Was he South or North?
He was in the 5th Vermont. He was in the Vermont Brigade. He was in the North. His name was.
I was going to say that changes the verbiage that is used in some letters.
He ended the war as a 19-year-old Captain Robert Pratt. Yeah. And the cool thing is, he also became a two-time mayor of Minneapolis. If any of you watched the fun old George Floyd riots and you saw City Hall there, he was the first mayor of Minneapolis to occupy that building. Okay, now hold up. Let me find it here.
I love Jack's like tangents. He's like, fun. Okay, back to this. Also, right. Side note, isn't it crazy? You will be a great-great-great-grandpa that people look back on. It's like, my great-great-great-grandpa, Jack,
he
would show his stomach.
Yeah.
He'd sing karaoke.
Yeah,
I can't read a lot of this stuff right now.
Yeah, he's got his own language over there. All right, so his name is Captain Robert Pratt. This was April 9th, the day 1865. What was April 9th, 1865?
I'm drunk.
That was the day that Lee surrendered to General Grant. So he's standing. He's doing post on a road. He's got his company there on the road. He says, "We have to start and look at the missus sitting in the window of the seminary. There are so many of them, and they have the name of being so much secesh. And we are so timid. We do nothing but gaze. If I were not afraid of a flogging, I would go down there and tell them Lee had surrendered." And this was me 4 days ago on Twitter, X. "I'm so fucking invested in this Chili's car winning Daytona." April 3rd, 1865. The day after the breakthrough at Petersburg, which pretty much was the beginning of the end of the war. "We were completely tired out of the day of battle. News reached of Ed Brownlee's death on the parapet. Oh, Ed, how wicked you were lost in our final engagement. I went to bed crying at the thought of him. February 11th, 2024. There's probably people fucking to ICP right now." Okay, last one. This is kind of a longer one. April 10th, 1865, the day after the war. Again, he's 19 years old. He's been at war for 4 years.
Jesus, with smoothbore fucking rifles.
Just, and no anesthetics or first aid of any kind.
"We know now that the war has ended, and how it thrills me and joy to know that we have accomplished what we have after 4 years. I can hardly get through my head that we can go on picket and not keep a vigilant lookout for rebels. All I want now is an education, and I am bound to have one. January 17th, 2024. Me also, you know, a war veteran. It's not illegal to scream Allahu Akbar in the middle of a flight and then just continue reading your People magazine." So I'm journaling. Yeah.
It's the same thing, right?
Yeah.
Same, but different.
Yeah.
They're going to look back and be like, my great Uncle Jack used to drink with President Herrera.
Yeah. That's true. Yeah. And I like how you said uncle, because, you know, like, this guy ain't having kids. Women might want to fuck him. They don't want to get impregnated by him.
I'm not saying that. I'm just saying I've never met a man with more crazy uncle energy than you. You're what I strive to be.
Bro, when I actually do go to my sister's house, I've got three nephews. Two of them are twins. They're maniacs, 6 years old. Like, I pass out. All I do is sleep at her house. I sleep there. It's the best sleep I get is when I finally go back up to Minneapolis and just can be with the fam. I just pass out on that couch. Yeah. I bought them the UFC game for Christmas. That's way too violent for 6 years olds. There's a lot of blood in that game.
It's fine.
Yeah.
Have you ever had, like, a family approach you and say, "Hey, my kids love your videos"?
Bro, all the time. I get a ton of emails about parents who, like, my son in, like, middle school or early high school, like, has never gave a shit about history, but now he actually is. It's his best subject because he likes your videos. Or I have kids actually write me and ask me to help them get sources because they want to do a paper on a video that I already did, and they want to know what sources I use to write their papers. So they do all the time.
That's a lot
actually.
Of initiative for, like, I'm assuming these are, like, teenagers and stuff like that. That's a lot of initiative for a teenager
really cool.
to take. That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's actually doing good in the world.
Yeah.
Crazy concept.
Yeah.
That is awesome. Also, Jack, that's like the, how old was your great-great-great-great-grandpa during that?
15 to 19. 15 and 1861.
Fucking doing 4 years of war at 15. Yeah. We were sophomores. I hadn't dropped
soft.
Out yet.
We're soft.
Yeah.
Yeah. Dude, I can't even imagine. Ryden would be going to war in 3 more years. I'm like,
yeah, John turns 15 in a month.
Yeah.
It's shipping him off to war.
Yeah. It's like, you're going to go, you're going to take this smoothbore rifle.
Yeah.
And you're going to kill people who are your family members.
And some guy from Alabama is going to fucking try to murder you.
Yeah.
Ryden's like, "I don't want to shoot people, Daddy." Yeah.
He'd be a good drummer boy.
I don't know. I know Ryden doesn't like loud sounds.
Oh. He wouldn't like war in general, man. Yeah.
He would be like, I gotta get out of here. He'd be running the opposite way. I'm like, "No, God damn it. Sorry, the loud noise.
deserter. He's like, "No, I just don't like this. I don't like this.
I'm over this. I'm going to go to the south now."
Can you imagine pick his charge, a wave of gray coming towards a wave of blue, and he's just running through the middle of the field trying to get the fuck out of there?
They're like, "Something's wrong with that boy." boy, don't shoot them.
Let
them
line up the cannons, though. They're perfectly lined up, and they're fucking accurate. He's the one in charge of formation. He's like, you are not in a perfect line.
Yeah. He'd be the drill sergeant.
Stop moving.
He's the general on the horse. And they're like, general, what do we do? Don't talk to me.
Yeah. Stop talking. The horse is too big.
Oh, my God.
General Ryan.
The accuracy is correct on these cannons. It just destroys everyone.
Yeah, he's just looking at the... Okay, that is set. Now, you can fuse it. And then when they're lighted, he's like... He's so excited to watch it explode.
They're exactly 1,240 feet away. Yes, this is going to work.
Have you ever seen the Onion News Network when they had an actual like news show? They had the autistic reporter Michael Falk.
No.
Oh, yeah, my God.
The prison guy?
Yes. They did five segments. One was a train wreck. Another was going to prison. Another was the war in Afghanistan. Autistic reporter Michael Falk from the Onion.
Holy shit.
It was fucking brilliant. It was brilliant. But like, he's in prison and the guy's explaining, like, we have to wake up at the same time every morning.
Oh my God, yes.
And
I've get seen in
a line. He's like, a line? Yes, I want to go to prison. Take me to prison. He's like, no, it's terrible here. No, how do I go to prison?
Yeah. I've seen that one clip. He's like, how do I go to prison?
Yeah.
You have to go into a line and it's all regimented. Yeah.
You have lunch at the same time every day.
He went and interviewed the Taliban. He's like, and they put a bag on my head, which made me quit thinking for an hour. Yeah.
Like a horse blinder for autism. Put it back in. It's like, right. She's like, boo. They shut down. But
the U.S. soldiers are like explaining how they lost like 15 guys, but the Taliban lost 1,000. And he couldn't comprehend why they weren't sad for the 1,000 Taliban guys that died. Yeah.
Dude, awesome. I love how their brains work. It's like, but why are you sad about the 10 and not the 1,000? It's like, bro, okay, let me break this down. Not gonna happen. Fuck.
So what are you, 18 ounces in right now?
Damn. Bro. Oh, God. There it goes. We...
That's right. This is an AdamandEve.com ad. Who wants to have better sex? And who wants to have better sex starting immediately? Best way to get started is head over to AdamandEve.com right now.
This bump!
Adam and Eve is now offering 50% off of any object. More than that, Adam and Eve wants to make your life easier. They offer discreet shipping, as privacy is a priority. Doesn't matter what you order. G-Van, insert something. G-Van, insert something. G-Van, insert something. All blurred. All those will be packaged discreetly and fast and free shipping. That's 50% off of one item and free shipping. Bring more pleasure and satisfaction into your bedroom. Head over to AdamandEve.com, select one item. It could be an adventurous new toy or anything you desire. And of course, just enter code UNSUB at checkout. That's code UNSUB, UNSUB at AdamandEve.com. That is an exclusive offer for this podcast. That's code UNSUB at AdamandEve.com. Babe, let's go ahead.
So that was, so you had your Civil War, your grandpa got back, and then where did it go from? Like, he just got back at 18 or 19 and then
19 years
college?
Old. Since he was a captain, he was a young officer, they actually offered him an appointment to West Point since he was so young. And he's like, fuck no, I'm not doing war no more. His brother, who actually was wounded at the Battle of the Wilderness right next to him, had, what was that? The breathing problem they all had back then.
Black lung.
Tuberculosis.
Tuberculosis, yeah.
The TB.
So they heard that in Minnesota, it's just better air out there. And so he went in 1866, a year after the war, went west to Minnesota, started his own business. Minneapolis now has schools named after him. He was the two-time mayor of Minneapolis, kind of when he really helped build the city to what it is today. And then his son was the first soldier from the state of Minnesota that died in the Spanish-American War while he was in office. So they have schools named after him and everything like that. Yeah. Robert Pratt. Yeah.
You got a fucking history there, man.
Yeah. My family was like, at one point, they were like the Kennedys of Minnesota, and then the Depression happened. So like, none of it matters
anymore.
They
got depressed.
Yeah, they got depressed. Yeah.
The Depression.
Yeah.
That's what it is. Everyone just got depressed. It wasn't about money.
Everyone's sad all of a sudden. Fucking wild.
Yeah.
That's fucking crazy. It's more crazy you know your family lineage, because I know like my grandpa's, and then past that, I couldn't tell you anything my family did.
It was a freak thing, right? Because he had like seven kids. So we were the ones that freakishly were the ones that somehow ended up with this because he probably at that point had hundreds of descendants, right? It was just a freak thing that we were the ones that ended up with that. And it just, it was a big part of my childhood reading and going through all that. That's what started my love and interest in reading and history. And then, yeah, some years back though, we donated it to the Hennepin County Historical Society. So it's all, it's in a museum.
That's
now.
Fucking dope. Yeah. Cody, do you like, where's your, I'm guessing grandpa, great grandpa, and then nothing after that.
I know grandpa. Yeah, grandpa was a police officer during the civil rights movement, so we don't talk about that.
That's where Cody got his superpower.
No.
Is he really good with German shepherds and fire hoses?
He has genetic superpower.
Oh my God! You should see some of his old police reports. I'm not even going to repeat them.
Can you read them? Hey, like
he'd go to court with those things, right?
No, it was bad.
You're like America.
So, not the full N word, but the one with grow at the end.
That's not
the police reports would be like
the
like
color it, black in Spanish.
But that was the word back then.
Yeah,
yeah. That's, would, I don't think that's not nearly as offensive as the that's actual. Not, we still refer to old baseball leagues as the Negro leagues. That's what it was. Yeah.
Okay. So I can say the word now.
In historical context, yes.
Yeah.
Okay. But no, his police reports, like I read, like my brother-in-law found some of his police reports because my brother-in-law and my sister work at the same police department that he worked in the 60s and 70s.
Oh, wow.
And so the reports would say, like, they would list the names of the suspects, but then when they're talking about, like, what happened, they would be like, Negro 1 came out of here with whatever, like Negro 2 ran, I chased Negro 2, like
and that was the time. It's crazy when you read that, you're like, dude, a lot of the stuff we've done in America, like the Japanese camps during World War II,
that's like one of the worst things.
This is literal, like,
a lot of them are still alive.
So one of my females, Kathy, hey, shout out to you, her mom was part of that entire thing, so she has all the history for her. She just turned 75, and she would tell me about these stories when I was training her. She did personal training. She's like, oh, yeah, my family, they took everything, never got anything, moved them into a camp, and we were just, everything's just gone. Imagine it just coming in, chucking it.
Oh, and most of those people, they weren't folks that had just gotten to the United States. Yes, they were generationally American. Yeah. They'd been there for three or four generations. They were as American as you can be.
Yeah.
Yeah, and people don't know, too, that they did in more, not as commonly with Japanese Americans, but they did in turn a lot of German Americans as well.
Oh, I see.
Because there was a lot of German Americans that were, like, openly kind of clinging on to Hitler's rhetoric. They kind of identified them, like, you're going to stay in, they put them down here in Texas, actually.
No shit.
Yeah.
I mean, it makes sense. We have a huge German population. One of the, period.
Oh, yeah.
Did you ever watch?
Barney, fucking New Braunfels, like.
Everything around here. Fredericksburg.
Yeah.
Did you ever watch? Sorry, go ahead.
Oh no, I was gonna say we were talking yesterday about the Argentina Nazis.
How do
you feel about the Argentina Nazi situation?
Well, I think
do you think it really happened?
Yeah, 100%.
A bunch of high brass, like SS people fled to South America. Yeah,
we found the one. Who was the big name we found?
That dude that had his own island for doing nuclear research.
God, no, I didn't even know that one. I know found like big name SS commanders in Argentina and South America. That's like historically. Yeah,
they were actually fighting like war criminals up. I mean, they still. The last one wasn't long ago. Yeah.
There's a whole team. Actually, who was the Israelis that would go and fucking hunt Nazis? They've
been hunting since.
Yeah.
Have you heard of that, Cody?
No.
Dude, this is Israelis. This is Jewish people.
Is this a Tim Kennedy thing?
No, this is
Israeli. Because he did hunting. He did hunting Nazis.
They were probably involved.
Or hunting Hitler on History Channel.
Like, I don't know if it's military or like law enforcement, paramilitary, but they have like their own like borderline special forces unit that hunts down like Nazi war
and they
criminals.
Kidnap and bring them back.
Yeah, that, you know, like, bro, you didn't hear it.
Oh yeah, they don't fuck around. Like,
no, I didn't know about that. But like, I've talked to so many dudes who do like joint force type stuff down in Argentina.
Yeah,
and they're just these villages
of all Germans
of like big white people with blue eyes and blonde hair. That speak
in the middle of like Indian territory.
Yeah, to speak like the weirdest dialect. Like, yeah.
Yeah. Well, and South America has always been multi-ethnic. They have huge Italian populations in Argentina. Brazil is very diverse. But and there had been Germans in South America for quite a while. But the, 1945, there was a new flood of them that showed up.
That's great. I told you about... Weird. Did I? Oh, I haven't told you this story. When I was at the 5/11 event in Las Vegas for a SHOT Show.
The one with Cody was...
Yeah. So we were all there. We were all there, and I went inside, and there was just, you know, a bunch of people there or whatever. And I went in. There was this dude, like, he had two backpacks in his hand. He was, like, looking, trying to pick between the two. But in one of them that he had was the backpack that I've had forever that I fucking love. And I was like, that one's the best. Like, I've owned both. That one's way better. And he's like, yeah, I was leaning towards that one anyways because I'm from Honduras and I can't have, like, very military-looking backpacks because they'll just assume I'm with the cartel and they'll arrest me. And he's like, so this one looks like not military. I go, yeah, that's why I like it too. And he's like, yeah. And I was like, cool. And he's like, yeah, I own a security company down there. I'm like, oh, that's cool. And he goes, yeah, I'm half German, half Honduran. And I go, oh. And he go, how'd that happen? He goes, well, my grandpa came over from Germany in the 1940s. And I went... And he goes, yeah, my grandpa was a Nazi. Straight up. And he's like, he's kind of like, we had a conversation for like 20 minutes. And he's like, my grandma's got dementia and she thinks it's 1943. Oh, God. It's super not
she
cool.
The, she the lady in that video?
I brought that up and he's straight up. He's like, dude, it's exactly like that. He's like, it's bad. So,
grandma, no.
You know what video we're talking about?
No.
Oh, there's
a video with an old lady, and she goes, I don't know.
No, it's a cake. It's
that?
A birthday. Something's happening, and they're like, yay!
It's a celebration. Oh. She's having a drink.
Yeah, she's like, hell, Hitler. And like, grandma, no.
Grandma, no.
She starts her arm, and her like son pulls her arm down.
Oh my God! Think about it in Germany right now. That's probably happening to a lot of families when you think about it.
Oh, the old, yeah, I didn't even think about that. Yeah. Oh, my God.
Yeah, we're losing a lot of World War II vets recently.
I know, that's why we're trying to get.
I'm interviewing three this month.
Are they coming here?
No, I'm going to them. And it's basically like it was a rush to book those tickets because last year I interviewed three and two of them died within a month after the interview. Like, you got to get on it fast.
Well, I know. Yeah. I remember when I was personal training, this is 2011. Reading the news that the last World War One soldier had just passed on
Frank,
like,
Buckles, yeah.
Yeah, I was like, holy shit. Oh my God, yeah, the entire generation is now gone. Now we're the World War II one, we're at that cycle. It was like, hey, we're gonna start losing a lot of these dudes.
What was the stat? Like, this was like 5 or 10 years ago, probably, that I read the stat, but I think the United States government was still paying pensions for like three Civil War veterans,
yes,
because it was
they're
like
widows.
Yeah, they're like widows or something crazy.
The last Civil War,
or it was a child of a Civil War veteran, I think is how it worked, but it was like a 15-year-old kid that died in combat but had a kid, and then this person was like 105 now. Like, it was something crazy, but they were still paying out pensions for Civil War veterans.
Yeah, the last Civil War veteran died in 1956 or something like that,
which is also fucking wild.
Yeah,
that is crazy.
Get back to World War II. What was the black dude with the Tommy gun on his porch?
Oh, he just
I can't remember his
right?
name. Yeah, he passed. He got pneumonia and he finally passed.
Really cool.
But he was like 90.
Yeah, he was a
hard something.
Yeah, he was almost.
He was a soldier.
Yeah,
he was a World War II soldier. And
was he a pilot or something?
Robert he was the guy that lived up in Austin, right? He was like blind.
Yeah, I think
Yeah,
so.
Robert Overstream.
He had a Tommy
Robert
gun.
Robert Overstream or something like that, yeah.
They would interview him.
He was the oldest World War II soldier, yeah.
Yep, that's him.
Yeah, he was like, I contribute my longevity to whiskey. to whiskey and cigars.
Yeah.
But yeah. God damn, they don't build them like that anymore, dude.
I think he was up there in Austin, if I'm not mistaken, yeah.
What do you have on your like family lineage? Or are you the first one where you're like, I'm going to start deep diving? I know Grandpa...
I don't know super far back. I know my family came over from Ireland in...
Like, you're not one of them Czech Iowans?
No, in like the early 1900s, and they went straight to California for the gold rush. And then my family owned one of the biggest ranches in California for a long time. And that was actually my dad's grandpa. So my great grandpa, I never got to meet him. He passed away before I was born, but they owned one of the biggest ranches in California and then lost it in a divorce. But my dad has all these stories because I guess there was a Native American burial site on this ranch. So my great grandpa had this like museum on his property of just all this stuff that had been like, he wasn't even excavating, but it was like, it was ranch. So like he was farming and stuff, and like the stuff just got unearthed and he was like preserving it. So he had,
do you have any kinds of it?
No, we don't have it. They like lost all of it. In the divorce. Gosh, so like, Jesus. I never got to see
what
any
part of California.
Anything. Northern California, so like Orland, Orville area, Chico. I was born in Chico.
Oh, up north there. Yeah. Okay.
Dude, in the comments below, let us know what your family is like, if you have any crazy stories like that.
Yeah.
Did you ever
see that Key and Peele sketch where they're doing an Ancestry.com commercial?
What you're doing.
It's so good.
I don't know this.
It's so good. It's so good, dude. And if you know American history, like it's awesome. But it's like, it's an Ancestry.com commercial. It's like this white guy's like, I didn't know that I was a direct descendant of Robert the Bruce of Scotland. And then it goes to another person. It's a black lady. He's like, I'm a direct descendant of Thomas Jefferson. And then it goes to a white guy. He's like, I'm a direct descendant of John Adams. And then it goes to another black guy, Thomas Jefferson. And every time it would come to a black person, they're like, Thomas Jefferson.
Dude, Key and Peele is so fucking.
Yeah. Jesus.
Some of the best sketch comedy you will ever see. Still, you remember Peele.
The Family Guy skit when they find the pictures from Lois's dad,
Peter. Yeah, and then Peter,
and then they're like, oh, look like your great great grandpa had the jungle fever. He's like, oh, Jesus Christ, dude. Christ.
Yeah, and then Peter.
Watching old Family Guys now, you're like, wow, this was on network television at 6 p.m.
Dude, they used to go hard, very hard.
It debuted after the Super Bowl.
Did it?
Yeah. I'm pretty sure the first episode was after the Super Bowl.
I love Family Guy's story because they dropped it for 2 years. There's 2 years or a year where they're like, no. And then everyone's like, where the fuck Family Guy go? And then they were like, oh.
Fox had a bad history of canceling good shows. Arrested Development is the big one I can think of. I don't know if you guys have ever seen that. It's my favorite comedy show of all time. But it was always on the chopping block. But they had a hardcore fan base.
I forget. Yeah. Was it only Fox? There's a couple networks that would do that. They would have Firefly's a really good example of everyone.
But Firefly, that's the one where they mixed up the episodes, right? And they played them out of order.
So originally, yes, because the executives didn't like the order. So like, no, we'll start here and confuse the audience.
That's the most Hollywood thing I've ever heard in my life. Telling the people that made the show what order the episodes need to be in chronologically.
Well, and thankfully we have this big wave of, well, thankfully there was a huge wave of that happening, and now then all the studios lost a metric shit ton of money for the last couple of
years.
Thanks,
Disney.
Disney, Marvel, they just started printing shows, and then you had this fuck up, and then it was like, we need to actually pull back. That's why Disney Marvel right now, there's only slated for Deadpool is the only big one.
Have you seen the Deadpool trailer?
Not the new one.
Deadpool and Wolverine.
Is that the one that has Juggernaut in it?
No, this is a new one.
New one coming out.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, but in the trailer, Deadpool says, I'm Marvel's Jesus.
Yeah, he's like, you can call me Marvel's Jesus or Messiah. Like, he says Jesus or something like that. Yeah.
It's like, because they know that he's going to bring it. Like, Deadpool's going to bring it back, going to bring Marvel back.
Oh, my God. Stabs somebody or shoots somebody in the dick. He's like, oh, you won't see that normally on Disney. and then it goes right into the series.
Good. But they're breaking the fourth wall entirely, and he's like, yeah, I'm Marvel's Messiah.
And it was a huge, like, Ryan Reynolds, they were not trying to have it happen until last year's all the failures from last year and the year before. This year, they were like, fucking... Okay, like he gets whatever he wants. Let's actually have him do this. They pulled back on everything other than Madam Web came out, bombed, and now Deadpool. Those are only two big slated ones this year, and they're compared to 2 years ago, which they had, I think it was like 8 series and then 6 movies come out, and they fucking tanked. A majority of them tanked. So they're like, the Disney CEO, he was like, or Marvel CEO, one of them, he was like, yeah, I won't say any much more other than we made mistakes and we're trying to rectify them. Quality over quantity from now on.
I hate it.
I would love to imagine Ryan Reynolds and Hugh Jackman walking into the office of the CEO and being like, we don't need you. You need us. And we're going to do whatever we want in this movie. Yeah. You know?
I hope they both make $1 billion.
Oh, yeah, it's like, you know, people forget show business, not fun, show business. It's the studio systems. It's as bureaucratic as any other mundane corporation out there. And you have endless amounts of people in pointless jobs that are trying to justify their jobs. So they're inserting themselves into creative decisions constantly. They're not letting the artists, you know, sometimes.
We've never experienced this before.
Yeah,
never.
Absolutely not. No, never. I live in a creative utopia. Yeah.
It's creative heaven.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, that's why I love when you guys have me on here. I can say whatever I want. Like,
yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's fine. G-Van.
Do it again.
Make me say better? Something racist.
Yeah.
He's like, no. Yeah. Jack is canceled. He's like, ah.
I never said that about Jackie Robinson, man.
It's a highly specific.
I was just thinking about how awesome Jackie Robinson was. Sorry. I love Jackie Robinson.
Because you're a fucking huge baseball fan.
Yeah. The reason I love the Jackie Robinson story is he was not the best black baseball player in America at that time. There were in the Negro leagues, there were a few players that were better than Jackie Robinson. The reason why they chose him, though, was he had gone to UCLA, which back then it was not common to have integrated sports teams, but he had already played football and baseball with white players in college. And he's a World War II veteran. Not only that, he was an officer. So he was good on paper and he was good. And he did, you know, rightfully so. It wasn't easy to be a black baseball player traveling in the deep South in the 1940s. But he had a good history of tact, where other ball players that were better, that they, you know, they fought, understandably, they'd fight back in situations. But in order for them to convince white America like that, this black baseball player belongs here, they had to have the guy with the right resume. And he had the right resume. He was a phenomenal baseball player too. Yeah.
Oh yeah, it's crazy watching that. Like even the black community when it was introduced into basketball, baseball, boxing, because it was like, no, what the heck is this dude doing out on the field? But when he's out of here. But wait, hold on.
When he's stealing home and he's on your team, oh, we need him.
Black baseball, like basketball, all that. You just get to see that. Like, let the boy play.
Wilt's putting up
let him cook.
Wilt's putting up 100 points. Yeah.
Would you just hold on,
dude? If Boston, which by the way, when we associate American racism,
Nick's like, oh god, no, it's perfect.
When we think about racism in America, we unfairly put it into the South quite often. But like the most racist city in America has Boston's got a pretty good freaking history of being shitty Irish white people up there, and the fact that they accepted someone like Bill Russell, you know, says a lot about the power of being good at sports, how that can change culture. Yeah,
I mean, you look at Robinson. Oh, God, Sugar Ray.
All I can think about is the Bill Burr joke.
Which one?
The one where he's like, what's it, how come every time, you know, like a white guy makes a move, it's an intelligent move, and every time a black guy makes a move on the football field, it's an athletic move? And he kind of explains it. He's like, well, when Peyton Manning calls an audible, that's an intelligent move. When Michael Jordan jumps over four grown men from the free throw line. Fuck, why didn't I think of that?
So
probably one of the funniest jokes in stand-up history.
Jesus, guys, it's okay. I have black friends.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah. Sugar Ray Robinson, when he was during his boxing, and this dude was a fucking monster.
Yeah.
And untouchable at that time frame. And then he was in World War II.
Yeah.
He joined, had to do his service, and he would just box. He would, like, raise soldiers.
Yeah, they weren't going to get that guy killed in combat.
No, because he was already, like, the heavyweight champion.
What, main character? Fucking.
Oh, yeah, those, my video?
No. I'm saying what he's talking about. They're not going to let him die in combat. Armor? So he's like, he has main
character energy.
He's got main character energy.
I want to go to the front line, sir. You're going to stay in the back line and box. Motivate the troops. Huh? Will send everyone at this table, though, to the front line.
Have you ever, do you know about the fight? I'm sorry to interrupt.
I'm
going through my Minnesota anxiety. Do you know about the 5 came back story? About the 5 directors that Oh, man, I don't know. They were the biggest directors of the day. John Ford was one of them. But, like, all the best directors of that era, they went and shot propaganda stuff for the United States government. They commissioned in various branches went overseas and shot actual combat footage. They put themselves on the front lines to get this, like, propaganda footage for the United States. So they were doing, like, cinematic, you know, shots in the middle of combat.
And this is on tracks and shit. So if you guys don't know this, during that time frame, Akira Kurosawa was the lead of starting the the camera movement during shots and building tracks. And then it came, like, in America, World War II, you would have, I'm assuming they probably had, if you're saying cinematic shots, like, laid out track. And these are monster cameras, as you were just saying. They're walking and going, like,
that's such a fucking flex.
While getting shot.
Yeah. While the ground's exploding.
Such a fucking flex. Could you imagine being some fucking 18-year-old German kid and just the Americans are, what are they doing? They're setting up their cameras. Yeah. The battle starts in 45
it's
minutes.
Content, man. Content.
Bro, oh
you're
my God.
You're looking over
view.
And you're like,
they're adjusting the lights.
What the fuck? Well, they're worried about lighting.
They're making a guy sweat right now just to look good on camera.
Yeah. They're pre-dirtying themselves.
Did they make the push happens at golden hour to look better? Like, they're moving salt units for better sunlight. The hardest directors
the fucking
in the world.
Hitler youth is sitting over there like, this is about to suck, isn't it?
Yeah. We're about to die.
You guys don't attack at night because you don't have nods. We don't attack at night because it's bad lighting. We're not the same.
Yeah. We're not the same.
We're not the same.
Cold turkey might be great on a sandwich, but sometimes it's not the easiest thing when you're breaking bad habits. We're not talking about some weird, crazy mind voodoo from your neighbors. Use your own sarcastic example. We're talking about our sponsor today, Foom. And they look at the problem in a different way. Not everything in a bad habit is wrong. So instead of drastic, uncomfortable change, why not just remove the bad from your habit? Right, Henry?
Help me. You're going nowhere, Henry.
Instead of electronics, Fume is completely natural. Instead of vapor, Fume uses flavored air. And instead of harmful chemicals, Fume uses all natural, delicious flavors. Stopping is something we all put off because it's hard. But switching to Fume is easy, enjoyable, and even fun. Fume has served over 100,000 people and has thousands of success stories. And there's no reason you can't be too. Join Fume in accelerating humanity's breakup from destructive habits by picking up the journey pack today. Head over to tryfume.com and use code Unsub to get 10% off your journey pack today. That's tryfume.com, TRYFUME.com, code Unsub.
Oh man, have you guys seen that Masters of Air show that's come out? It's like the Band of Brothers of the Sky.
I'm waiting.
It's so good.
Wait, is it out?
Yeah,
It's coming out episode by episode right now.
Yeah.
I'm waiting till it's all the way out.
Can I?
Yeah, go ahead.
Just one scene that I thought was badass.
I know the general plot. I know how it ends.
They
I assume you know it.
They get into a bar fight with a bunch of RAF bomber pilots, British pilots, because the British pilots are shitting on them because Americans did day missions and the Brits did night missions. And he said something, more of you guys would have survived if you did night missions. So they end up getting in a bar fight and beating the shit out of each other. And afterwards, one of the Americans is like, he was right. He's like, then why'd you fight him? I just didn't like his tone. Yeah. I thought it was such a cool scene. Yeah.
That is, doing day missions is not fun. You always ask, it's like, but why?
Yeah.
Why are we doing a day patrol? To show presence. It's war torn.
You know they don't have nods, right?
Yeah, exactly.
This is a bad idea. You're just going to give up home field advantage for no reason? Like, hear me out. We could wait 8 hours and they literally can't fucking see.
Yeah.
No. Throw young American boys at them. It's fine. It's fine.
We need to establish presence. Go. He's like, ah. Jack, you probably, when you're walking and fucking. My least favorite part was when you do a dismounted patrol and you're surrounded by like 10 story buildings, like on each side, and you're like, you just start walking. You're like, whoa, sniper, you can't get me. I'm not gonna pause. I'm gonna take a knee. Move.
Serpentine.
And you start walking. Or when you're first in it and it's a day mission, it's just fucking like, you're like, well, I'm going to get shot at any one of these windows.
I gotta find it. There's like a Vietnam era veteran sniper that streams Battlefield.
The old guy?
The old guy that's just a fucking wrecking people with a sniper rifle. He's just slapping
people on the rooftop.
And he's just talking shit the entire time. It's so funny.
He's like, when you have this adjustment, you go up this far, and he's like, headshot, 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 headshot. It's like, goddamn. It's
probably our next door neighbor.
It's
Sammy right now. I hope so. It's Sammy just fucking pinning people.
Have you met the neighbor here yet?
Dude, he's cool as shit.
The next door neighbor?
Right here, yes.
I've never met him. I've not did the nod thing going in a couple times. Yeah,
yeah, he's a 101st Vietnam veteran.
Oh, no shit.
Yeah. 173rd, yeah.
Have you guys had him on the show?
No, not we're going to.
No, oh, no, yeah. Nick was willing to bring him on
I
the show.
I want to bring him on.
Yeah, I bet he's got some stories.
Oh, I just want to hear what he thinks of us.
They thought I was running drugs because I'm a tattooed fucking Mexican. Yeah. And there was just a whole bunch of boxes getting delivered.
You're fucking Batman.
Well, it's like boxes would get delivered, and I'd and they would just sit there, and then I put security cameras everywhere around the house, and then the wife, I got one video message on the front door. It's just her coming up and grabbing a whole bunch. She's like, "It's gonna be next door. I know what you do," and walks over there because they just seen fucking my ass. Which, understandable, if you don't see me on a normal day-to-day basis.
So I know what you do.
Could you imagine?
You dirty little tattooed Mexican. We know the border's coming over.
Did she open it? I hope she opened it. That'd be so funny.
Oh, no. So
she thinks she's opening up just kilos of drugs. It's fucking light up Tetrises and Force hammers. Just dump shit off Amazon.
There's got to be drugs in here somewhere.
So I go and I finally go a few days later. I'm like, "Hey, I'm Eli, blah, blah, blah." And she's like, "What?" And very apprehensive, very standoffish when I meet. She's like, "What are you doing?" And I was like, "Oh, we do some internet content, podcast." "You run a business out of that?" I was like, "Well, no, we're doing this. Hey, it's fine, blah, blah, blah." "Oh, and a vet, we try to do things for the veteran community." "Oh.
Oh,
okay."
That was that. That's all it took.
And then it went "Hey," and then I started talking and doing it. She's like, "Well, you do it all this and you know, school. My son's a doctor. Da da da. Son's a doctor. All her sons are fucking doctors and stuff. That smart family over there.
That's all Sabby.
Yeah. And then she started talking. I was like, "Oh yeah." And I brought you guys. So I had whiskey and wine for her. I was like, "I don't know what kind of wine. I'm assuming a white, maybe a red. Here's both." And then I got Sammy, the husband.
Both colors. Good whiskey. Job.
Yeah.
100% success right there.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, "Here." And she's like, "Oh my God. Thank you so much." Left. Come back the next day. She's like, "I Googled you guys. You guys are so good. You do so much for the community. Thank you guys so much." And now they'll bring in, they have the house code. They bring in our mail for us.
Oh, God.
Yeah, they're the sweetest humans over there.
Yeah. We shouldn't tell them about Brandon Herrera.
No, God.
How much he hates veterans.
Yeah.
He gave me a book, though, yesterday.
And Mexicans.
I hope that is the clip Tony tries to send out next. Is Brandon Herrera hates Mexicans. Herrera.
I was a big fan of how he posted the voting thing, and he was one vote, score one for the good guys, and then he just didn't have the balls to say bad guys, so he said other guys, even though he clearly just wants to imply bad guys. It's how are you going to run to be a fucking federal congressman and you don't have the balls to call your competition bad?
Yeah.
It's kind of sad.
After the article.
Mr. Tony Gonzalez, my name is Jack Mandeville, and I am a direct descendant of Benedict Arnold. And if the price is right, I can give you everything you need to know about Brandy Herrera.
It's true. Brandy Herrera? Brandy Herrera.
Dude, when he wins, though, the montage of all this shit, how the fuck did that guy get elected?
Bro, we were talking about that last night. Yeah. His campaign manager is going to be a legend in the campaign manager community.
Yeah. And that's the thing is the Republicans and Democrats, and they all know each other. It's not personal for them.
Yeah, no, this
it's
is personal business.
For the idiot. Yeah, it's business for them.
This is football coaches comparing professional athletes against each other. Yeah. That dude's going to be a legend.
It's like, man, how did he do that? Because we've discussed it before with like UNSA. It's all everything we do. It's like they're just like fuck. Fuck.
His text message.
Hey, it could be worse. You could be Adam 12. Nope, that one fell flat.
I don't know. We'll explain. What's
that? He's that podcaster that like lets all those dudes bang his wife. That's the joke.
Sad. Wait, what? Work. Now I want more about Adam.
Fucking. You talking about Adam 22?
Oh, Adam 20. That's why. Yeah, it wasn't my fault. I just got it wrong.
Those are the best jokes.
Yeah.
We had to bounce between like the information. All right,
let's get back to veterans.
To be fair though, did we talk about his shirt? It's awesome.
You got me.
Was that the first time or?
That was the first time for him.
Yeah. You got me.
Dude, you got me. Everyone so far. I'm working on it. So we got Zach. Good. And I knew.
Eli had my back from the beginning.
From like the second Nick sat down, it's like ding, ding, ding. I was like, wait, Cody, go there. Here, you go there.
Well, Nick said I would rather sit here because he wanted to get Zach veteran with a sign.
I wanted to.
It was a 2 hour build-up
strategy.
It was 2 hours.
Very strategic.
It was just like Nick just was like, I should sit here. I was like, yes, you should. Like, my brain was on. He's like, he's gonna fucking boop him.
Oh, it's an ambush. Fuck that dude. This is a pre-planned ambush right here, dude.
I want that fucking boop to go hard.
Matt, I was over here, Matthew McConaughey with the cigarette. I was like, I see it coming.
Still, Isaiah's is the pinnacle because I had your back on that one.
I can't believe I got that.
That one, because even then you hear
even
me.
I was surprised I got that.
Wendigoon?
Yeah.
Oh.
Okay. I was here on Wendigoon.
Can we say his room?
For seven years. Yes.
Okay.
Like, I was like, yeah.
And I was like, oh shit, there is something.
Like the whole time. And then he looked down, it worked out.
Yeah, because he was like, he just looked at you and you had there, and I was like, oh, there is something. And he was like, oh. Boom. And his face of defeat, though, he goes,
fuck.
Yeah, time slowed down for all of us. We're just like,
That podcast is nothing but 12-year-old boys. She's like, we just watched an explosion.
We spent two hours watching him go like in depth into like biblical education, everything, just being super articulate and smart. And then I fucking hit him with the third grade joke, and then we end the podcast like fucking degenerates.
Yeah, Jack, my parents were sitting over there. And Isaiah went into like this huge biblical thing,
lore, angels, the like how the representation, like he
don't
is,
call it lore. People are gonna get mad.
Sorry, lore is the proper word, right? What's lore mean?
It's secular. It's a
okay, whatever.
I don't know what the fuck. I have a GED. Don't go off of my grammar.
Got a kid.
Got a kid. But he's going through like all. He's just breaking it down into a very consumable product, and everyone is loving it. Like everyone just shut up and dude, he was so good. And he got so many compliments and like all y'all out there, all the comments were like, man, if this dude was my like Sunday school teacher, I would have listened.
Yeah.
And my favorite comment is like one of y'all out there, you weirdos. He's like, I'm a pagan Viking, but holy shit, I would have turned to Christianity for this dude.
Holy
like,
fuck. There you go. I would have dropped that axe and opened up an IKEA stat, man.
Have you watched any of Wendigoon's stuff?
I have not. I'm not as well versed with the internet stuff. So I've learned about him because of the show. Yeah.
Okay.
That was a long time for that explanation. I could have just said no. My apologies.
My favorite Wendigoon video ever is like 3 years old, and it's him explaining in detail why Christmas in the Cranks is communist propaganda. It's so fucking funny. It's so fucking funny. You're just sitting there like, this dude, he's right. He's ruining it. Like this, like probably the last great American Christmas movie ever. He's like communist propaganda and just fucking shreds it. It's so good.
Onion,
it's hilarious. Dude, it's a shorter one. It's only like 30 minutes by him, which is a pretty short video for him, but like it's so good.
Boom! The year's 2024. Do you know what that means? A new look for you. Manscaped has the 5.0 Lawnmower Ultra. That's right, the Lawnmower 5.0 Ultra is a man's cheat code to looking good, feeling good, and have all the confidence. Whether you're looking to maintain a trim or make sure everything's gone, this has you covered. Trusted by 10 million men worldwide. I actually use this. I endorse this. I use all their products. Equipped with two skin-safe blade heads, a standard one for taking a little bit off the top, and a new foil blade to take everything off comfortably. And for the dudes out there that want a full grooming experience, look no further than Manscaped's Performance Package 5.0. In that grooming kit, you get the trusted lawnmower, Manscaped's ears and nose hair trimmers, and essential aftercare products with the Crop Soother Ball Aftershave Lotion and Crop Preserver Anti-Chafing Ball Deodorant. Head over to manscaped.com and use code UNSUB and get yourself 20% off and free shipping. Oh, I love free shipping. Make your balls and your spouse happy.
Yeah, he goes on.
Do you know what socialist propaganda is?
What is it?
The Pledge of Allegiance.
I'm listening.
Francis Bellamy. Francis Bellamy.
Oh, now, show her. We got the clip. She's dialed in.
I do not say the Pledge of Allegiance because it's socialist propaganda. It was written by an open and avowed Christian socialist named Francis Bellamy. And people forget, pre-World War II, socialists were getting elected to high positions in this country. It wasn't like the bad word it is now. Socialism was a lot more common, especially in the Depression era.
To piggyback, Pledge of Allegiance didn't happen until 50s or 60s.
No,
or
was that started in the late 19th century.
What I'm saying, like the 1960s, 1950s?
No, like the 1890s. So basically, Francis Bellamy got hired to write this thing so they could sell flags for this magazine. But he like straight up, the whole point was to get it into schools and indoctrinate children to socialist ideals. And which he did. He was successful. They even had a thing called the Bellamy Salute. They quit doing it in 1942.
Oh, so it was upside down?
Instead of doing the hand on the heart. The ironic thing is he was a Christian minister. The One Nation Under God wasn't added in until the 1950s.
That's what it was. Yeah. And that part of it wasn't added until like 50, 60 years later.
But yeah, see Star Spangled Banner, love that shit. That's a fucking banger. Top one song on the billboards. Love that song. But when it comes to reciting, that pledge creeps me out, man. I might as well be watching freaking 1,000 North Korean kids reciting something right there. It creeps me out, that pledge does, man.
How does that make you feel, Nick?
I don't know.
Nick makes us actually say the Pledge of Allegiance before every episode.
It's true.
Yeah, you guys miss it.
He's not a Christian, so that's his prayer.
Fun fact, they actually have the same exact American flag with the little holder that you can screw into the wall on Amazon. There's one in that corner right there. You just don't see it.
It's beautiful.
Yo, catch the Pledge of Allegiance on Patreon.
We also have that old school clock that hangs right next to it that we all know. It's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Don't worry. When I found out Rudy was kind of bullshit, you ruined the movie for me. So sorry for ruining the movie for you guys.
I was like, Rudy. Oh, yeah. That is, if you want to go on to that, Ted. What is your next video? Because you're usually one or two ahead.
I'm probably going to... I think I'm doing the Devil Duck probably as soon as I get home.
Do you talk about them on this show ahead of time at all, or are they secret?
Well, I talk about it technically ahead of time, but we're so far ahead on this podcast that I usually get the video done and it's uploaded by the time this podcast comes out.
I want to hear about it.
The Devil Duck?
Yeah.
Oh, you're a Marine. You'll love this story. This is the most Marine Corps story that's ever happened.
I don't even know this fucking
story. You don't know this story? You've never heard of the Devil Duck?
Mm. I'm not a Marine. Oh, my God.
In the 1940s, a young Marine was in the Netherlands getting ready to go into the Pacific Theater to fight. And in the Netherlands, he was at a bar and they were playing poker. And the Marines won all the money from the locals. And the locals were like, fuck it, here's my prize duck. And put it in the middle of the table. He's like, all right, I'm going to win this duck. So he wins a duck, right? And they end
up...
Imagine just being like...
So obviously this dude's
like, of course the Marines are like, yeah, we'll take that fucking duck.
E4, E3, Lance Corporal, somewhere right around there. Right. And he's like, I got this fucking pet duck now. Obviously he brings it with him. Okay. He brings this duck with him. This duck participates in 4 amphibious landings in the Pacific.
Holy shit.
Including the amphibious landing of Tarawa, which is like one of the deadliest battles in the Pacific of World War II.
The Dutch survived?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
So he ends up getting the rank of sergeant. Sergeant Seawash is his name. This fucking duck. Okay? Makes it. Goes through multiple amphibious landings. Apparently, I swear to God, like, I have the sources. I have the Time News articles and the drawings. The duck got in a fight with a Japanese rooster during one of the amphibious landings and beat this Japanese rooster in a fight and ended up getting a military medal for going toe-to-toe with this Japanese rooster.
Fuck you, you rooster fuck.
I just picture in my head, I just picture the duck has like its flap, like stepping on its, stepping on the chicken, a GI tosses a 9/11, a 1911 next to it, and the duck's like, quack.
Affleck. So, and then fucking survives, makes it all the way through World War II with the Marines.
Wow.
Doing multiple amphibious landings. Ends up, they give it to, I forget which zoo it was off the top of my head, but it lived the rest of its life in a zoo. But it was,
made it to the States.
Yeah, it made it back to the States. It was drinking booze with the Marines all the time, right?
Of course.
Oh, and like, God. There's pictures of this duck drinking beer with the Marines while the Marines are hitting on women. There's literally pictures of this dude in his dress uniform. The duck's drinking booze while he's hitting on like three girls.
Did the duck have anything?
No.
Oh, no, but he's still a fucking duck.
I do believe this is the first historical record of a wingman, though, as far as picking up women. It's going to be hilarious.
Yeah.
Well, you know, like, if they're in a bar and anyone fucks with a duck, they're all just like,
oh, God, it'd be terrible.
Did you just
what'd you say to my duck?
That's my service duck.
That's a good luck duck right there, man.
My service duck. It gets into any bar.
He ended up dying of liver complications, and the Marine Corps, I have the newspaper article,
drinking.
The Marine Corps had to release an official statement at the time in like 1949, 1950, somewhere right around there when the duck died. They had to release this official statement from the Marine Corps that the liver complications that Sergeant Seawash had are not related to the excessive amount of drinking with the Marine Corps. And then they had him stuffed. And allegedly, he's in the museum in Virginia.
In the Quantico there.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Can we borrow that for unsub for like a year? We would play.
So here's the thing. I reached out to that museum, and they didn't get back to me. And I'm not saying this happened, but in the back of my head, I'm just like, somebody was like down in the basement wondering, why the fuck is there a duck here? And like probably got rid of it something dumb.
Can we start an unsub series where it's like unsub field trips and we'll go
visit there's a, I know one of the best ones. There's a military, there's a U.S. Navy ship like sitting in the middle of a field in Mississippi or in Ohio.
Or wait, why? Like, did they bring it out to scrap like it and it just got left?
It flooded and some like military unit fucking drove this fucking, like, it's not a big ship, but they drove a military vessel all the way up and then they just got beached there and they just fuck it, leave it in the middle of this forest in Ohio. And you like hike, it's like an 8-mile hike from the road to go down into the woods to find this thing. You can get it. Nobody's out there. So like if we actually like ruck marched all the way out there, we could bring shit and set up the cameras and film on the boat. Nobody's stopping us. There's no park or anything. It's just a national park. And there's a, if you go out there, it's geomarked. You can just find this fucking boat.
I like your idea. We set up the podcast beside the fucking ship.
That's our backdrop.
We just got a legal excuse to get a fucking short bus as a write-off.
Done.
On some field trips.
Dude, Ryan's going to be so happy.
Oh, let's outfit a short bus, dude.
Oh, I can't wait.
That's all I'm saying.
The tism.
Hey, am I allowed to comment it?
I guess. Why?
I always want to ask permission if I can come places, you know?
Jack, you are allowed fucking anywhere.
Jack, you can come. You want to come
with us? If we're going on a trip or something, you're always allowed to come.
Oh, what kind of come did you think I was talking about?
To the ones on my face.
I thought you were talking about jacking off.
No, I want to come in the bus.
Yep.
And we'll just keep it. He's like, oh, I want to come in the bus.
Man, my jokes aren't hitting today.
This could be so
no,
funny,
Jack,
though.
You shut your fucking mouth. You had many bangers so far.
All right, many bangers.
When is what is your next, when you start your fucking series?
Yeah, when's your next video when you start your channel?
They're all written. Peter and I just have to film them.
Okay, no, but like, put a date on it for the crowd.
Give a taste. So we can hold give you a taste. To it.
I'm interviewing freaking. I got 5-6 work trips this month, so I will be home from March 12th to the 18th, and I'm going to film it in that time period.
What can we have a story?
Yeah,
So there's a couple videos I did in the past, just like little 1 minute Instagram things that I elaborated on. Yeah, that I put.
You sent them. You sent them to me. Like, this one. I was like, yes, not long form.
Yeah. So one of them is going to be basically how related the European family was at World War One, like how fucking inbred they were. Yeah.
If you guys, that is actually if like.
Will you bring up the toilet for me?
The toilet?
The toilet. They hid the toilet, Jack.
The toilet. It's been around for a long fucking time.
What toilet?
Huh?
The
world's first flushable toilet was invented by, like, Queen Elizabeth I's fucking nephew. And then he wrote a book talking shit about Queen Elizabeth. So she like confiscated the blueprints, had it made and put in her quarters, and then like buried the technology for like fucking the next 150 years.
Holy shit, I had no idea.
They had the only flushable toilet for like 200 to 300 years, like some outrageous amount of time.
Wow.
Yeah, it's hilarious.
It's like making a car, and then your nephew makes a car, and you're like, man, this is dope.
I'm not sharing this with anybody.
Yeah, and then your nephew's a piece of shit, so you're like, well... This is my car now.
There's one person with a car driving around on the road.
Since the 1500s.
Like, and then the 1900 came out. You just show up to Buckingham. You walk up to the guard there just standing his post. Like, I want to see the fucking toilet, man. There's been so many asses on that toilet, dude.
Let me see that shitter, bro. Because, I mean, for the long time, if you don't know this, you would have on castles. It kicked out the side of the tower. Literally out the side of the chute, and then you'd have a dude that would fucking come clean it, scrub it down.
That's why when people romantic, even like 60, 70 years ago, when
1596.
Wow.
Fucking, like, they had flushable toilets.
I don't know if that would have been Elizabeth, but that, because her reign ended, I think, in the mid-16th century.
She was the golden age, right?
She was the last.
Sir John Harrington designed the first toilet to eliminate the need for tossing waste out manually.
It was the first
conceptualized flushable feature. His godmother, Queen Elizabeth I, had a unique device installed in Richmond Palace in 1596.
Holy shit.
Damn.
And then she was like, fuck you, nephew. Yeah, oh, they romanticized even during the French. What was the really chateau?
Yeah.
And it was
Versailles.
And that smelled like. Dude, shit.
The world, everybody fucking stunk. Even in the 1950s, people only bathed like twice a week. Like, people just stunk back in the day. And the streets were smelly. We see all these nice, picturesque European streets now. People just throwing shit and piss out into the streets. It was gross back then.
The chateau, so that's why perfumes were created to mask the terrible smell. They would, in this castle was like the top tier in France at the time. They would just go and shit and piss in corners of the house. That was it. That was it.
No wiping, probably.
I don't even know.
It was just terrible back then. Then everyone glorified it, as you're saying, Jack. Yeah. And they were like, no, this was not a beautiful thing.
They rarely show that part in movies about, like, any historical stuff is, like, what hygiene looked like.
It's really tragic, because if I have to hear one more person on the internet be like, I was born in the wrong century. I want to live when it was cobblestone streets in the
1600s. We've got them now with modern plumbing. Yeah.
You don't want to live in a time where,
it's pretty great now.
Yeah.
For sure.
I would never want to go back in time and be like, this is my time. Yeah. I wake up, they'll be like, Mexican Asian tattoo man is a slave now.
My job would be without the internet. I'd have to go to the library. Gross.
Yeah.
And then you're just reciting to the library kids.
Oh, jeez. Can you imagine me going to the librarian at Mason City, Iowa? Yeah, I'm looking for primary sources to prove that the government has a cheese cave in Missouri.
Like, hey, we got another McVeigh over here.
Do you have any sources about why Lyndon B. Johnson's cock blocking me from having a Hilux because Germany didn't eat enough chicken in the 1960s? Please. Is that going to help at all?
Oh, you, write this down. Can I tell a fun Richard Nixon story?
Of course, I read this. This is the history podcast today, guys.
As the story goes, he had already announced his resignation as president, but he was still president for a few more days. He was just, you know, waiting to get on that helicopter. And I guess, and the Reagan assassination attempt was really when the Secret Service we know today really was born. They still didn't have the same protocols. They still had lax protocols back then. Anyways, Nixon wanted to take a little drive early in the morning in D.C. So he got in the presidential limo. He's driving around D.C. Just on his own. He's in the back of the limo. And there's a bunch of protesters around the National Mall there, around the Lincoln Memorial. And the protesters see it's the president of the United States in this limo. And one of them runs up to Lincoln's window and just flicks him the bird, right? And then Nixon rolls down the window and gives him the bird back, rolls up the window, and he turns to his driver and he says, that son of a bitch is going to go his entire life telling people the president of the United States gave him the middle finger and no one's ever going to believe him.
And that reminds me of fucking, Groundhog
Bill Murray. Bill Murray.
See, you already knew. Yeah. Bill Murray.
Bill Murray.
Have you heard Bill Murray's stories?
Oh, like where he goes and takes pictures of people that are passed out at the bar and shit?
He will show up to parties or he'll do that and be like, no one's going to believe you. And fucking bounces. Like, he will show up just to random parties and do that. There's Tom Hanks did that at that one wedding reception.
Yeah.
Like, jogged up.
Oh, yeah. Oh, in Central Park. Yeah. I've seen that, yeah.
See the Bill Murray picture of him washing the dishes in the apartment?
No.
He goes to, like, this college kid's house party, and there's a famous picture of him doing the dishes, because, like, there were just so many dirty dishes.
And Bill Murray, and, like, it's such a rant. When you get to that level, if I was Tom Cruise level, that's the shit I would do.
Yeah. Why the F not?
I would I'd just drive and be like, knock on a door. Hey, I got a pizza. You want to fucking eat?
You want to eat
pizza?
Yeah.
And, like, sit down and just be like, what are you watching? They're not going to say no. No one's going to turn Tom Cruise away.
Well, I noticed he's not that level of fame, but he's pretty famous. Bam was kind of like that, where he'd just show up to a group of people sitting down and just sit down and, like, talk to strangers, and they'd be like, is this Bam Margera right now? Just
and it's high, yeah. And you're like, what the fuck? Dude, any celebrity, to get to that level and to be able to just, I would have fun if I was at that level. If I was Taylor Swift,
I wouldn't be at football games.
No, I'd be fucking flying my private jet.
Dude, oh, we talked
to the best places in the world.
It's like, why Travis Kelce? He's like he's a dumb jock. He's probably not a dumb human being, but, like, he's a jock. He's like a jock bro.
Who's
like
that?
Her boyfriend, Travis Kelce. He's like a jock. And we were talking, like, why did she choose him? And someone brought it up, made a really good point. Like, look at her dating history. She's only fucked, like, actors and, like, nepo babies and
musicians.
And all these high society, like, pussy dudes. She's with that guy because he's giving her the dick of a lifetime. He's giving her fucking athlete dick.
The athletic
that
dick.
That sounds like something you need to Ultram and Ultra for.
Like, he's not on her intellectual level. She just wants to get fucked hard by this guy.
Yeah.
Well, I felt bad for him because it's, like, as me and Cody just did, who?
Who are we talking
Everyone
about?
Responds about as Taylor Swift's boyfriend.
Oh.
Yeah, Travis. Sorry.
I really like... not her boyfriend, but the brother and his wife.
Jason Kelce, yeah.
Kelce and his wife are pretty cool.
Which one? I've heard of him yet.
Huh?
His brother's
in the NFL too.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
And he's a little bit, like, thicker. I think he's a lineman, not a tight end.
Yeah.
And his wife, they've been together, like, forever, and his wife is, like, pretty cool. And she's like, nah, I'll fight another woman if she tries to flirt with my husband. It's just they have a really cool relationship dynamic.
They podcast together.
Yeah, they're super cool.
I saw the best tweet too. I'm gonna not going to do it the justice it deserves, but it's like Taylor Swift, you know, writing these deep lyrics, and it's just like Travis Kelce lifts his head up from the dog bowl with food in his mouth. Babe, you are so smart.
Taylor Swift is...
That sounds like a fucking Meat Canyon skit right there, dude.
Taylor Swift
is... Babe, you are so smart.
I just backed down.
Did you see Meat? Did you see Meat's video about Taylor Swift?
Oh yeah,
that was good. Yeah. The elk bugling. All the girls are going crazy.
Yeah, just opens the mouth. They all whisper. It gets back to Taylor instantly.
You see, she's trying to sue a college student.
Yeah.
There's a college student because public flights leaving and landing is public information.
Yep.
You can track flights.
Yeah, you can track any flight. Almost.
So he tracks celebrities' flights.
That's the one that Elon got
because he can, and he posts about it. And Taylor Swift is suing him because she doesn't appreciate that she's advocating that everybody helps the world be green. And he's like, I mean, also you're flying on a private jet every other day, pretty much. And she's now trying to sue this college kid for it. Pretty exciting.
15 minutes.
I don't think it was Hunter, but someone made a cartoon recently of her going to the fridge to get a drink, and she jumps in her private jet, flies to another mansion.
That's actually pretty hilarious. Gets out of bed and drives a fucking 747. A crew walks into the fridge.
Crashes into another mansion. She gets a drink out of the fridge, gets back in, and it flies back to her place.
That's so good.
I can't imagine.
Jack, I remember you telling me a story about one of your deployment. Most of you don't know this. Jack, you were during like the surge of everything.
Because you were infantry.
Yeah, bastard. I was an LAV crewman. It's, yes, technically infantry.
Okay.
LAVs. It's there's like three battalions in the Marine Corps. That's it.
Now, Jack had a whole bunch of MREs leading into this, and no wipes.
I was there for the invasion of Iraq.
And
yeah,
then
yeah.
You had poopies.
Oh yeah, I shit myself twice in 1 hour. Yeah, is that the one we're talking about?
Yeah.
Well, we've been.
This is not looking at the reaction I'm having.
Yeah, I was. I'll never forget.
This is during the invasion of Iraq.
Yeah.
And then everyone's like, I'm listening to you.
This is one of those just tragically human moments.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tragically human.
Yeah.
It's my new metal band.
Oh, it's so good.
Yeah. No, we did the invasion of Iraq. Oh, I was in 1st Marine Division. Our battalion was very much at the front of the pack for most of it. And we
soft were, armor Humvees.
Yeah, it was like light armored vehicles. Yeah, and they were light armored.
IEDs weren't a thing yet.
Yeah, they weren't. Yeah, that was like the fun times. Yeah, yeah. It's like we can just shoot guys. We know who the bad guys are. But anyways,
he's got
an
AK.
Yeah, yeah.
They actually wear uniforms.
This was at the tail end of it. We had just our battalion took to crit. And we had just seized, and you got to understand, we've been eating nothing. There were times where I was only getting one MRE a day. But when the supply train was caught up to us, we were getting about two MREs a day.
Gas mask, no gas. Did you do mop?
Yeah, we went into, I got a funny story about that too. Like,
just for reference, everyone, mop, they cycled out of that, but during the invasion and for a year or two, you would just have to wear mop gear, and that is a non-breathable to keep out bio and gas. You're wearing
charcoal impregnated Carhartt and this coveralls
is from head to toe
in the desert.
Wearing a non-breathable in the fucking desert.
Yeah, what's Generation
has a good
Kill
scene about that?
Oh,
Generation
yeah.
Kill.
Yeah.
Generation Kill shows the mop gear.
So we actually did. My unit was like represented in that because we did missions with them during all that. Anyways. So we get to Tikrit, we find this weapons plant that has like 50,000 AKs in it, and we're supposed to blow it up. But like while we're in Tikrit, this it was like the first fresh food I'd had in at least a month. This old Iraqi lady gave us some chicken, and I'm like, fuck yeah, thanks, old lady. Woo 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 woo. And And
you don't ever eat. Jack probably hadn't learned this. You do not eat their food.
Oh, I learned it the hard way, Eli. I gotta mention this. About 3 or 4 days prior, it was with the Generation Kill guys. We got in this ambush, and a mortar landed right in front of my vehicle and blew. We would hang our packs on the outside of the vehicle. It blew my pack up. So, like, it just sent shrapnel going through my pack. So all my clothes just were, like, covered in freaking shrapnel. And so I only had, like, two pairs of underwear. I only had what I was wearing and, like, one pair of camis that were, like, covered in holes, right? And I freaking, anyways...
Mortars, so explosions, grenades, mortars, it's not the explosion that kills you, it's the shrapnel that is sent out, and it just fragments everyone. Yeah. So you have these tiny bullets or pieces of shrapnel metal that just shred everything.
Yeah, because in movies, like grenades, there's no big fiery blast. Yeah.
No.
It's just a pop.
One of the most depressing things of Army basic training is... that was a grenade?
Yeah.
It's literally 5 meters to 10 meter
but
kill radius.
But you do
radius.
Get to see the dumb kid get body slammed by a very serious 11 Bravo. That's the funniest shit on the planet.
Doing this?
Bro.
You're like...
You drill it 3 times. They're like, you're going to throw it and get down. And then you do it with nothing. And then you do it with dummy grenades. And then you do it with real grenades. And every time some kid... And it is, they pick the biggest 11 Bravo on the fucking planet. And it's that 11 Bravo goes one Mississippi and fucking suplexes this person.
I've seen, like, there's that one viral video where he, like, breaks the kid's arm, where he just fucking hip tosses him onto the ground.
Yeah, that happens every time.
You do not fuck around with grenades. The shrapnel will kill you, period.
Yeah.
So sorry to interrupt.
No, that's fine. Anyway, so the crit was pretty much the last really hard thing we did. So this was like, honestly, the first time in 3 weeks that I had the opportunity to take a nap. People were starting to wash their clothes. So it was like, oh my God, we have time to do stuff now. And I decided to take a nap in my vehicle. I was a driver, so I could lay out my seat, and I had the most room in the vehicle. And then, probably about a half hour into my nap, I woke up and I just didn't feel right. And I was like,
this is after the chicken.
Yeah, this is after the chicken. And I just looked down. It was the desert camis at that time. And I was like, oh, fuck, I shit myself.
Oh, no.
And so I was like, oh, crap. I tried to do it in
clip. Oh no.
Yeah. I get out, so I'm able to stand, and I can stand up out of my little driver's hole and just go into my pack, right? So I had to take my underwear off. My undies were filled with shit. And I had to grab the pair of camis that had shrapnel. Oh, it was just like little peppered in shrapnel. And I was like, all right, I got a new pair of pants. I baby wiped myself. I didn't think any of my people noticed. So I'm like, fuck, okay, I'm still tired. I lay my eyes again, and sure enough, like 15, 20 minutes later, the guys laying in the back of the vehicle just heard, oh, no! I shit myself twice in 1 hour, and at this point, now, I've cleaned myself up, but I'm standing butt naked, like out of the vehicle. So the driver's hat is here. So I'm standing. So like my dick. I'm inside the vehicle here. I'm standing up. The whole company's watching at this point. I'm basically holding the two shitty pants, the one with the shrapnel in it, and the one before, like determining which one has the least amount of shit on it because I have to put pants back on. And
you want shrapnel or shit?
Yeah,
both are shit. Both
have poop. This is the best part. The call comes in. Hey, first platoon, you guys got to go. What's it called? God, I've been out of the military a long time. What's it called where you set up, like you
block... Lines of fire?
You block off an area for, you know, VOD's out. You just set up a... we set up a perimeter.
Yeah, set up a perimeter.
Yeah, we set up a perimeter.
I record on.
Dude, they were going to blow up all these fucking AKs they just found. And so I was like, oh, fuck, I got to put this, whatever, I don't even remember which pair I chose. I put the shitty pair back on, and I'm just, and then it's coming, right? So we're driving out there. We're having to drive through urban areas. Dude, I don't know if I should say this. Like, I'm pretty sure I ran over a all of my brain power, all of my brain power. all of my, and I'm so, Cody, I'm sorry, it's my natural line of sight is over here. I should be looking at you more often.
You're good, man. You fucking.
I was, all my brain power was going into not shitting myself again because it came on, and we're just rushing to this place. I'm not kidding you. We pull into the place. I put that motherfucker in park. My sergeant, the vehicle commander, knows at this point I'm about to shit myself. I get out of the vehicle, and like the entire fucking company is like in a coil. I run out to the center of this field, and in front of the entire company, I'm just shitting my, like Lloyd from freaking. Dumb and Dumber. I am shitting in the middle of this open field that they're about to detonate. The entire company's laughing at me. And I'm asking one of my scouts, one of the 0311s, I'm like, I need toilet paper. And they're all laughing. He throws that at me. It lands fucking 10 feet in front of me. So I'm crawling to this fucking toilet paper, wiping my ass. And no shit, I'm not even kidding you. I fucking run back to the vehicle, and that's like when the thing like pretty much exploded. And like, I'm pretty sure I felt shit hit my back as I was running back. And this is the best part of this, is how fucked up the Marine Corps was during the invasion. They had to give me a Desert Storm era flak jacket that didn't even Velcro, and I only had one plate, so I had to decide if like the front of my body or the back of my body was more important. Yeah.
I can't wait for the Band of Brothers series with you.
I remember.
Glorify war and you hear that story.
Steve Eichenberger was my NCO at the time. And I walk up to the vehicle. I'm dejected. Everyone's laughing at me. He goes, "You smell like an infant."
Oh, that clip's going to get a lot of views, Jack.
Jack's new podcast, Diarrhea in Combat.
And that's the thing, is like, I've worked with a lot of veterans for years, but like, I don't talk about, and be like, somebody asked me, he's like, you never really told a war story before. And I'm like, yeah, because I hang out with like Medal of Honor recipients and Green Berets and DevGru guys at times. It's like, what am I going to contribute to that war story conversation, you know?
That piece of gold right there.
We don't have to say the organization, but you had some, speaking of Brandon Herrera and how much he wants veterans to sewer slide. You had an organization come over to the house that one time and you made some sewer slide jokes in front of them.
I didn't even make them. A certain high esteemed organization came to Jared's place, and they had this idea for a movie concept. We told the concept, which we all thought was hilarious because we live in the world that we do, where it's like there's really nothing that's off limits. And these guys don't live in that world. And one of the guys was so offended when he's about to say what he thinks is something, he gets the biggest smile on his face. And Jared was just so happy that he was telling the story. Most of the other guys were laughing, but this one guy is just dead staring the whole time. And it continued on for like a half hour. I saw it. He was just dead staring Jared down the rest of the night. And as they're leaving, he just walks up to Jared and he's like, "Hey, man, if you make that movie, your company's going under. It'll ruin you." He was like, "So you don't joke about that, brother." Yeah, he did that whole thing. And I was just like, all right, you fucking boomer.
Yeah. He had seen the real shit. He lived on base for a long time.
Yeah.
And did nothing from there.
No, they made a movie about these guys, but like, I'm not, yeah.
I'm like, Jack's like, bah! Yeah. Okay, Jack, you've been, I love all your stories because you have been shot in basic.
Yeah.
You
didn't get a purple heart.
Wait, you didn't know this?
I told this story like 3 times on this show already. I don't know.
Do a quick synopsis for him.
Yeah, I got shot. 556 from a saw, point blank. Yeah, yeah, it's right.
Where?
Right there.
Through and through, or what?
Yeah, it split me open pretty good. Yeah.
How did that happen?
Split me open like a BBC, baby.
No, how did it happen? So back in the Marine day, they didn't give a shit about when they were rotting off the range.
Yeah, this was before like the infantry safety school instructors procedures. Were like, went to schools. It was like, you got 3 months left? Go babysit these fucking privates. anyways.
I love the ideology. It's like you're about to get out. And that is when you do not give a fuck.
Yeah.
They're like, go. Fuck you, babysit privates.
What year was that?
This was 2002.
Okay.
Yeah.
Shit.
I'm old.
Yeah, I was 18.
But yeah, we were doing live fire for our first time with a saw, 500 privates, and we basically they did not do their due diligence, and while we were cleaning the weapons,
Jack's in the front of the barrel.
I'm cleaning the barrel. The guy takes the buttstock off. They set it down. Sent the charging handle forward, and there was a round lodged up in there, and old PFC man, and I just stood there and. And I think the first thing I did a little. I was like, Corporal! And I remember they both these NCOs show up at the same time. They grab my arm. They're like tugging me back and forth. He's like, "What happened?" He's like, "I don't know, dude." Like they knew they were gonna get in trouble for this. Anyways, one of them died later in the Battle of Najaf.
And then Jack didn't get out of a test. To my part.
Yeah. And that night, I've been in the hospital all night. They got me sutured up, and I come back like at 2 a.m. It was a Friday. They were supposed to let him go on the weekend, and all the Marines were sitting there on their lockers, like staring at me, like I did something wrong, like I'm the one that shot myself. But they kept him there until I got back, and they're reading off the list of everyone that had to come in and make up tests in the morning. And he's reading off the list, and he goes, "I had to offensive patrolling." And he's like, "Manaville." And I, you know, I'm still bleeding through the bandages. I'm like, "Here, First Sergeant." And he's like, "What, you think you're getting out of this fucking test? No, First Sergeant." Yeah.
Bro.
But I didn't have to do, like, they didn't make me do, like, PT tests.
Oh, God, no. They wanted just, you to be like,
they let me pass right through, yeah.
Let him be fine. He's just going to the war anyway.
Yeah.
Or whatever. Yeah. That's a clip in itself. Hoorah, yeah. Or whatever.
Fine, it doesn't matter. It's fine. Oh, Cody, what's your next? So we got all y'all's videos. Cody, what is the next piece of content? You just did, we've talked about it a couple times, squirrel shooting.
Oh,
now you're going into, yours is like day-to-day basis where you're like.
I'm trying to talk him into new shit.
No, it's like, fucking, I have to do that emoji right there where I like grab my nose and I'm like, "God, you guys fucked this up. My channel went back 5 years again." have you seen the female police officers mag dumping into the apartment yet?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That's a gnarly one.
Happens, Cody?
I think it was in Houston.
This is the sheriff's department, right?
A lady came to the door with a gun because, like,
she was staying there or lived there.
Yeah. She was staying, her friend lived there, and she came to the door with a gun. She didn't even get to the door, open the door, but the female officer saw her through the window coming to the door with a gun. And again, I don't know the buildup to this. I haven't looked into it very much, but these female police officers just start mag dumping, like the one
reload.
Of them reloads, mag dumps, reloads again. Shoots more.
I pointed out yesterday one is one-handed firing.
Yeah.
From the angle in the video.
I can't decide.
I'm going to be honest.
I'm less offended about the one-hand firing than I am of the grip that the other one had.
Yeah, because, okay, so it's in the same frame. So left, the one on the left, yeah, she's mag dumping and then goes one-handed. And then the female officer we're looking through, the blonde, she's got her thumbs crossed on a Glock. And it's just like mag dumping too.
You don't do that. You go like this. This is a proper G-man. If I can show that. Like that. Yeah. Not this. Because the slide
comes back. You get slide by it.
Not good. And this isn't shitting on just like. This isn't like girls. This is
like day one shooting.
This is day one shooting. It's also like what you preach, which I fucking love. It's Cody's indiscriminate when it comes to that shit. You're like, if you're a bad police officer and you're doing that, go fuck yourself.
Yeah, absolutely.
One-handed. I don't shoot one-handed.
Like, and that was, I think that was on her third mag or her second mag too. She's just like, doo, 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 doo.
And you, because this is all you see. And
she had a call for whipping, more ammo, yeah, damn it.
It's whipping around, just shooting. And you're like, because in the Army, Marine, I guarantee everyone that has served, if you have shit bags, you do not.
Oh, they'll take away motherfuckers' weapons. Yeah. You're going to go guard the chow hall.
Yeah, you are not going near the front line.
With a PT belt.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Even when I was a cop, we made fun of people so much, they would just quit.
Like, I noticed that when I did, and I don't want to interrupt your flow with this story.
No, this is perfect.
I spent that week out there in West Texas covering the police department out there. And I did, that's one thing I did observe was that no one's more critical of cops than other cops. I've watched a lot of senior cops. They were quick to point out who they thought were shitbags in the department.
Well, yeah,
if I can speak highly of you, it is one of my favorite things for you is you call that shit out and you get, for whatever reason, it is this idea that you are like, you just side. It's like, no, Cody's, you give, when they do an amazing job or an officer steps up to the line, you're like, hey, this dude did the proper thing. Here's the due diligence. Here's the background story. Here's everything. But Jesus Christ, if they're shitbags, bro, nut guy, female cop shooter shooting a dude, you are like, go fuck yourself.
Dude, we had this one kid one time, speaking on. We brought him down to, I worked third shift in my department, so I worked at night. So sometimes you're bored, you don't have anything to do. We brought this one kid who had just joined. We're always trying to train. We're always training, we're trying to get better. We brought this one kid down to the basement of the police department just to do some training, like basic grappling and jujitsu, whatever. And one of my buddies who did jujitsu a lot told this kid, he was like, all right, arrest me. He's like, what? Like, arrest me. Like, this kid had already been a shitbag. He'd already done some other shit that, like, was retarded. And my buddy told him, arrest me. Just go ahead. And he wasn't even fighting back hard. Like, my buddy was just, like, standing there. And he couldn't get him into handcuffs whatsoever. And he quit the next day because he couldn't get my buddy into handcuffs. He was like, shit, maybe I'm not supposed to be in this line of work.
Maybe I'm not cut out for... I guarantee your buddy's just like...
He wasn't fighting back. He was just like, put me in handcuffs. It was just standing there. It wasn't a big guy either. He was just like, no, do it. Put me in handcuffs. And because that's the guy that has your back, you know, every fucking call you go to. And you want them to be able to put someone in handcuffs. He couldn't get them into handcuffs.
It's no different than war. It's you want somebody that, as you said, has your back. They can, like, hey, if something happened, like, I can carry you. I can carry you. I can carry you. Don't want to. I can do it, though. No problem.
You could have carried definitely like Marine weight me.
I could carry you now.
Oh, I know that.
I stayed.
You're in good shape.
Yeah.
I'm saying Marine weight me would have been a lot easier.
Oh, yeah. I'd be like, Jack, I got you. And I run out like this. My arms locked out. I'm like, good to go. Jack now. I'm like, Jack. Okay. It sucks, Jack.
I feel this tomorrow.
I'm going to bitch at you. I'm going to bitch at you the entire time.
Yeah. While I'm just like repeating Matt Foley impressions in your ear. Yeah.
But that's the thing you're saying. It's like these are the dudes that have your back and you want them to be able to have your fucking back at the end of the day.
Absolutely.
Thankfully, that guy quit.
Yeah. Yeah. Fucking thank God. Jesus. That was an ordeal.
How's Acorn Bro holding up? Have you guys talked about Acorn Man?
Oh, yeah, we talked about him on the last podcast. I don't know. I'm not going to reach out to him. Like, he fucked up. Like, that was a fuck up right there.
Some people.
17 times in a row.
Yeah. 17. Yeah.
Dude, I'd love to do a reenactment of the guy in the car.
We were talking about that.
fuck, go, go.
Yeah. It's literally Guy Ritchie, there I was. He has those slow motion rounds are flying next to his head.
He's
yeah. They're passing, deflecting off of each other. He's just like, oh.
Well, do you see the female officer in that too, shot also?
Yeah, yeah, because she didn't know what was going on.
Yeah, and he's like, they're shooting at me from the car, and she starts mag dumping two into the car. Oh,
God. Which her is like, for her, because he does say, I'm hit this. If you were like, this is happening, I'm going to fucking shoot wherever
Cody slightly said. More understandable.
Yeah. But it's been suppressing Cody, fire, I'm like, where maybe. Were you hit? Cody, where were you hit? And he's like, I wasn't hit. I was like, where's the gunshot at?
Bro,
I'm like, exactly. I would have drawn and been like,
I want a skit of you being the boss asking questions and having to get explained to you what happened. At this point, he said, I was shot. Where were you shot? I wasn't. That's what I want. I want you to be the sergeant asking these two what happened.
At this
skin.
Moment, his legs hurt. That's because he did two combat rolls and scraped them gently on the pavement.
God, that guy. I don't know what's going to happen with that, man.
He moved. He targeted your team.
The person in the car is getting paid.
Yeah. I mean, to be realistic, he could just go to another fucking agency and just be a cop again.
Which is terrifying. I don't know how that's a fucking rule. Imagine you're in the army and you're like, well, fuck, I fuck
you just
up
go
here.
And join the Marines.
I'll go into the Marines. Yeah, exactly. So you just like walk over to the Marines.
I'll tell you this, though. At least, you know, they'd love him in Uvalde. He actually fucking shoots.
Which one?
That's true, too. He was saying they would love him in Uvalde.
Because he actually pulls a trigger.
He does, yeah. He does the things.
Yeah.
He does the cop things.
Yeah.
But no, it's just like the defund the police movement got so heavy a couple years ago. The requirements for being a police officer shot down. And so they're just
Nobody
trying
to
hire
to
a lot of people.
This is the same for the military going right now. Because we're at a... Jack, did you know this? Right now for the Navy, you don't even need the GED to join.
No shit.
Honestly, I don't hate that rule.
But yeah, anybody can be a person's
You joined...
Mate.
No, Jack, how many fucking retards did you have in basic? You were during the war.
Oh, there was...
You did it.
No, I get it. Well, no, but I'm just saying, because you don't have to have a GED, but you still have to have a certain ASVAB score. That's my point.
Do they?
Yes, there's still ASVAB requirements. So, like, that's their reasoning of, like, oh... Well, you know, if you can still get, like, what's better? Would you rather have a dude that graduated from high school with an ASVAB score of 39? True. Or would you rather have some dude that dropped out when he was 16, but he's got an ASVAB score of 78?
Jack, you actually told the story of you had one dude that was actually retarded in your... Yeah. Wait, you never heard this one? I like that. Well, I like both your reactions to this. This is the best thing because what the drill sergeant says, Jack, I know you've told this before. Continue because I love this story.
They pulled a kid out because they found out like he was like.
No, wait. Yeah, go. Sorry.
They pulled a kid out because they found out like I think like 2 or 3 weeks into it that he was like. He's actually the drill instructor's like he's retarded. Yeah.
What was the drill song?
He's like he's an actual retard. Yeah.
The drill sergeant walked up and said this to the platoon.
And he started. He's like, that guy's recruiter needs to be in jail. Yeah. But this was a case that happened with the Marines. This was 2002. That word was more commonly used back then. There was a case in the Marine Corps where this recruiter went and picked up a dude from a home for people with autism to bring him to MEPS. So he knowingly put in someone with high level autism. Yeah. To where they needed to live in a home.
Oh no.
Yeah.
We needed bodies. And that's like I know for a fact some of the dudes I went to basic with were definitely like there were some like Looney, which was his name, that I hate that it sounds like I'm making up a fucking last name. His last name was Looney
and he was retarded.
He had giant lips. I will remember this kid to the day of day. He just looks like this, the white kid.
Oh god.
And Looney would pee himself habitually every night. He'd piss his fucking bed or every other night. And then my vague Looney, shout out. You fucking great shot. I just remember sitting down at Chow. We have the last man, fucking everything, last man, boom. I'm like 2 minutes of my meal, and it sounds like someone's spilling water. I'm like, that's fucking weird. And I look over, and there's just liquid dripping out from Looney. He's like, just want to pee myself. I'm like, God, fucking God damn it. And he wasn't my platoon, thankfully. He was in first platoon. And the level, the drill sergeant's like, what the fuck? They just hated this kid. He could PT kinda. He's fucking slow. He pissed himself all the time. And then we did shooting day.
Oh, no.
Looney, me, and two other people shot expert. There was four of us that shot expert and basic.
Out of how many?
Platoon is 40, yeah. 80, 120, like 180 people, 200 yeah. people. Wow. So, drill sergeant. All the people that shot expert, drill sergeant is super nice to us.
You're a goddamn genius, Gump.
Yeah.
I'd recommend you. Recommend you for OCS.
Why'd you hit so many targets? You told me to.
Well, like Looney, I remember Drill Sergeant Jackson at that time. He was this black dude. He's like, fucking Looney, goddamn. Looney, you can shit. Holy shit, you got expert. Go get cake. Go get cake. Dude, Looney can shoot. What the fuck? The epiphany of that drill sergeant yeah. registering this dude is dangerous on the battlefield. I was like, oh, they didn't make him deploy.
You remember day one when all the fat kids cried?
Oh, God.
What do they do? What do they do on day one?
Oh, just like day one of basic training with the... Oh, no, yeah. It was food. It was dinner of day one. Because, like, shark, you get there at, like, noon. You just get the dog shit smoked out of you the whole day. It's just yeah. terrible. All right, we're going to dinner. You go to dinner. You stand at, you know, fucking parade rest in front of your food on the table after you get it. And then, like, okay, eat. You all sit down, and it's, like...
10 seconds.
10 seconds. 15, yeah. whatever. Like, you get a bite of food, maybe, if yeah. you were really fast. And then they're like, okay, dump your trays, get the fuck outside. And then it's like, I don't know, we had three fucking fat kids crying and quit that oh day. Oh, yeah, they dropped out that day.
We had a lot of fat people, especially during my cycle. We had people that couldn't do a single sit-up on under 18 x-ray contracts. That's special forces contracts. That means you signed up for 5 goddamn years.
Wow.
And you signed up not being able to do a single sit-up because at that time, recruiters did not give a fuck. Fuck,
no.
They just put, they're like,
yeah. Yeah, I hit my numbers. I get to leave early today.
Have I told you my recruiting story?
No.
Okay. Well, okay. So it's funny, like, we all had the same experience because it's like Navy, Marine, Army. No, so I enlisted under an EOD contract because I wanted to be EOD.
Smart man.
Yeah, and I got into, because to be an EOD, you got to go through kind of the same test that like SEALs and divers and those guys go through.
Yeah, a lot of swimming stuff. Yeah.
So I got there and I couldn't swim fast. I couldn't do one fucking pull up. And yeah, but my recruiter fudged my numbers so I could get into the EOD program. And so I get there and we do I can't remember what the test is called. We get there and I'm like, I can't do one real pull up. Because, like, my recruiter wrote down, it's like, yeah, he can do, you only had to do, like 7 dead hang pull-ups at the time.
And they don't even tell you, so you're not even yeah, training so, man, for
there's
it.
A big yeah. difference between 0 and 7 dead yeah. hang pull-ups.
So I got there.
That don't sound like a lot. That's a lot.
They're like, do a pull-up. And I was, like, kipping. And they're like, right, oh, wait, yeah. you can't do a pull-up, can you? And so one of the Divemo guys brought me into his office and was like, who the fuck is your recruiter? And so, like, I'm 19 at the time. I'm like, I don't know. I know him. And, yeah, so that was the whole thing. It's like they're just recruiting. They're bringing in people, like, anyone they could bring in. I couldn't even do one pull-up. You're supposed to be able to do, like, 6 or 7 dead hangs.
They do. This is, like, recruiter's lie. During my time, like they rugs. Said, Eli, as long as you max out your PT score and shoot expert, they will give you airborne. You can do whatever you want. Because I had a GED.
Oh, I have a story about this.
GED, you can't get shit. Like, that was the main thing. They're like, oh, you're a GED. I had to get my GED to join. That's the only reason I got a GED. So I was like, okay, fucking dope. I can probably shoot. I can definitely shoot expert. And then I'm physically fit. I like to work out. I did both. Graduated with honors. I was like, drill sergeant, can I get my fucking... Airborne, go ranger and all that. And he's like, no. I was like, huh? What? Why? Like, my brain was so broken. They're like, no, you can't do that. I was like, but my recruiter said if I do both of these things, I can do what I want. Your fucking recruiter lied, got sent. Thankfully, I had first round shout out. He looked at like PT score and shot expert. He's like, you're coming with us. You're going to third platoon. Here you go. We'll fucking take care of you. I was like, oh, don't. And that dude is like, that's the guy that's like went Delta. He's like high speed dude. Like, God bless your soul. And then all the guys know him from the unit now. And it's the weirdest thing where I'm like, did you know this guy? And they're like, you know, fuck. Holy shit. Oh my God. Let's tell the story about when he got drunk and kicked off a plane. I was like, go on. I want to hear how much of a shit bag.
Eli, I have an idea. The gang does the ASVABs.
Holy fuck. We could arrange that.
Oh, it's like who's smarter than a fifth grader type shit.
We treat it like Top Gear, and then all our guests have to do the ASVAB now, and we have a leadership score.
Oh, yeah!
We get it. Wait, where's your name at? Oh, last boy! Well, holy shit, Cody!
I hear the Sunny music. It's like doo 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 doo. The gang does the ASVABs.
We have everyone that comes on to the ASVAB, and we put a fucking leadership board.
Where you rank? It has to be. It's really funny until we get a government contract for promoting taking the ASVAB. Bro, they wanted me to be a nuke.
You got high on that,
yeah, dude. They wanted me to be a nuke at the time, and I was like, "No, I want to be EOD. I want to do that thing that Jeremy Renner did in the movie."
Yeah, I heard it's realistic.
So I was a medic, and I was in HHC National Guard, which is like the headquarters unit. So it was like the only people that I drilled with were all the medics for the entire battalion. Were all localized in one platoon there. All the scout sniper infantry guys. And then like all the radio guys, and the scout snipers were good, but they were always getting in trouble. They would all go out to the bar every night and end up sleeping in the same person's house. And like, if somebody forgot to set an alarm, they weren't at formation when they were supposed to be. And they got, or like they would all, you'd literally just walk into the armory and they'd be all sleeping on the wrestling mats, drunk, and like most of them concealed carried, so there'd just be loaded Glocks all over this wrestling mat with a bunch of drunk 19-year-olds. So there was that, and then they got a new platoon sergeant. He was an E7 from the 75th, full tower power, like special forces ranger, airborne, whole nine yards,
all the tabs,
directly out of active duty, and. One scout sniper showed up to formation that day, and that was a dude that had like a family emergency and wasn't there the day prior. And he's like, where's everybody else? Like, I don't know. I wasn't here yesterday. I have no idea. And that dude had to do the whole like first 39 out of ranks. Oh, man. Saluted. Bro, he smoked that whole fucking platoon for 13 hours. We had to send 8 people to the hospital.
Holy shit.
It was horrible.
Dude, it's called corrective exercising. Nick, after that, how many people were late to formation?
Still a bunch. They were retarded.
Oh my God. So it was like ongoing. Holy shit. Usually
they had a drinking problem.
It usually corrects itself.
For a while, it was better. But yeah, no, it was like the first time I'd ever had like, they want 2 medics and an ambulance sent out across the parking lot. Yeah. He's smoking the dog shit out of these guys. They were low crawling in a field for hours. It was horrible.
Oh, Jack, I'm going to ask you about your worst smoke session. After Cody closes this out, if you want to see this on the after show, come check us out on the after show.
All right, guys, make sure to check out our Patreon for what's about to happen. But I have been joined today by Eli Double Tap, Fat Electrician, Jack Mandeville. Myself, Donut. Find Jack Mandeville on everywhere. What's your favorite place that people can go to find you?
Jared's Bar.
All right, Jared's Bar.
Is that
not Instagram?
Yeah. Oh, I'm on Instagram. Yeah, Jack Mandeville.
Find it in the description in the comments below.
Yeah. Dude, can I tell you before we release?
Of which one?
No, this is my plan. So I don't go on Facebook anymore. I don't have Snapchat or TikTok. I do. I go to Twitter because I hate myself. But like, my plan is like once Instagram becomes irrelevant, I'm literally just going to phase out of social media based on, like whatever I'm on now, I'm going to ride it out till the end and then I'm going to never be on social media again.
Nothing new.
I'll do YouTube. I'm going to do YouTube. Yeah.
But nothing new.
No, I'm not. Yeah. Like I don't have TikTok or anything like that. Yeah.
Oh, none of us have.
Yeah.
I don't know. Do you guys fuck with TikTok?
I have it. I don't upload on it really.
No.
Savannah.
There's like 48,000 fake fat electrician accounts though.
So. I bet.
Yeah.
I fucking bet. Hey, go check us out on the after show. We're going to go pee pee. I love you. Say quack bang.
Quack bang out. I got to pee.
Jack, say your sign off.
Cock balls.
Come.